Welcome to the Thursday, December 8th, 2011 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I am recording today from London, England. Adobe announced that it has received reports of a new vulnerability being exploited in its PDF products, Adobe Acrobat and Adobe Reader. All of its PDF products are vulnerable. However, the vulnerability is actually being actively exploited against Adobe Reader 9. Adobe Reader 10 or X is vulnerable as well. However, because it's sandbox technology, the vulnerability is not as exploitable as in Acrobat 9. Now, we should see a patch for the 9 version relatively soon. Adobe is talking about next week for the 10 version. However, the patch will be released with the next regularly scheduled update on January 10. Adobe mentions that so far the exploit has only been seen in targeted attacks and as part of the vulnerability release, Lockheed Martin is credited with discovering this particular attack. And well, in a second diary, while we're talking about exploits, Lenny is telling us about how to reverse JavaScript, and he's comparing two approaches here, or two tools. The first tool being a SpiderMonkey, which is part of Firefox, and essentially a standalone command line version of Firefox's JavaScript engine. The second tool being a V8, which is released by Google, and works pretty much like SpiderMonkey in the sense that it runs the command line, takes JavaScript as input, and runs it. These tools are very helpful to deobfuscate JavaScript, for example, and Lenny is going into some detail on how to do this. And well, if you're looking for more malware, the Australian Rail may have some for you. A researcher at Sophos went to a lost property auction the Australian Rail Company is having and picked up a bunch of USB keys that were sold off. Those keys were lost on trains and after some time expired, they were sold off. Now, the kind of interesting part here is not just that 60% of these keys contained malware, but also that the rail company usually deletes other electronic media. For example, if they're selling off laptops or mobile devices, they're usually erasing them before selling them off, but they're not doing this for USB keys. Of course, he also found a bunch of documents on them. However, he states he didn't actually look at the content of the documents to kind of preserve the privacy of the prior owners and instead just looked at metadata and essentially did a virus scan to find the malware on these particular devices. Out of the 50 keys that the researcher was able to purchase, none of them was actually encrypted. And well, a quick obvious warning to not brag too much on Facebook with your Christmas gift. An apartment of a teenager in Sao Paulo, Brazil was burglarized after he posted about all his electronic toys and other things that he had in his apartment. And before you get any ideas, in this particular case, the Facebook user actually overstated his wealth somewhat and the burglars made off with much less than they expected. An interesting court case in Michigan made the news where a husband was charged with intellectual property theft after accessing his wife's email without her permission. He used a shared household computer to do so, and he suspected that she was cheating, which, well, he found out she was, but in the aftermath of all of this, he was charged and now convicted with intellectual property theft under a somewhat ambiguous, as it says, Michigan law, so this doesn't necessarily apply to other states. However, I think it's important to note how easy it is to get charged with hacking for discretions like that. So it is really important if you are running any kind of vulnerability scans, pen tests and such, to have permission to access information. The case is currently going through appeals, and there may be another decision coming next year. If the decision should stand, then this man is facing 5 years in prison. Anyway, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.